The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Have you ever gargled peanut butter?
What's the capital of North Dakota?
Do I spit when I talk?
All this and more on the Eric Metaxas Show. Now your host, until further notice, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. We are all in our bunkers. Evidently, there's some kind of pandemic shutdown. I don't really keep up with the news, but you probably know more about it than I do. Some bird flu thing. I don't know. Albin, are you there? Chris, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm in my bunker.
In a couple of seconds, you know what? You're in a real bunker.
Yeah, I'm in a real bunker. Wow. I decided.
You know what? You know what ticks me off? I'm the host of the show. I don't get a real bunker. I got to sit in my home office. You, a producer, you get like a bona fide bunker.
Yeah, and this one. Yeah, this one requires an actual tinfoil hat upon wearing. If you don't have the hat on.
Upon entering.
Yes,
now, look, let me be clear for anybody listening at home. This is a radio show, but if you want to watch it, you can go to YouTube, the Eric Metaxas Show channel, Eric Metaxas Show, and you can watch us and see where we are. You can see what we're wearing. I'm wearing a horsehair wig, which has been in my family for generations. We have pictures of the horse, though. Exactly. But we are going to, for this full hour.
The beagles have been released.
For the full hour, we're going to have our friend John Zmirak on the program.
Yeah.
We're going to ask him about everything. He's in his own bunker in Dallas.
Yeah. He's walking over now, it looks like. Oh, there he is.
We're going to be talking to John Zmirak in just a moment. But before we get to John Zmirak, a few things. First of all, as I said, today is Monday. In hour two today, we're playing an encore with our dear friend, Victoria Jackson. She's an alumna from SNL. She was on the Johnny Carson show a zillion times. And if anything, she's funnier now. She's just brilliant, and I love her. And she's going to be on this program for hour two today. Yeah. Last week, in case you missed it, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We had on Diana West. We had on Victor Davis Hanson. And we had on Candace Owens. And those are all available by video. Since we didn't have John the Situation Zmirak on last week, we said we got to get three really heavy hitters. And that's the best we could do. I apologize. So, but I also should say that I don't think, did I comment on my experience in Nashville last week?
Not really.
Well, a little bit.
I flew to Nashville to participate, and we're going to talk to John about this in a moment, but to participate in a conversation, a Q conversation, Q ideas. My friend Gabe Lyons puts on these extraordinary things, but we had to do it virtually, although some of us showed up in person, but the audience was virtual. And I was going to have a conversation about evangelicals and Trump with David French, who is famously anti-Trump. And it was a very interesting conversation. I want to talk about that later. The transcript of it, it's not a great transcript, but it is online. It hasn't been taken down. It shouldn't be online. Somebody put it up. Some bad person put it up. But maybe Gabe Lyons will make them shut it down. But anyway, the point is that I do want to talk about that with John Zmirak. But before that, Albin,
yes,
we ought to this week do an Ask Metaxas again, because so many questions have come up, and we people have emailed us and said, what happened to Ask Metaxas? So do we have any, can we just give people to whet their appetite, give them a soupçon, how do you say it, of a thimbleful of Ask Metaxas?
Yeah, sure. I've got a real quick letter here from Annette in Vancouver, Washington. She says, hi there. Love the show. Thanks so much. I like to collect quotes, and I'm having trouble sourcing the Mark Twain quote about smarter than a blue jay, what can talk possum, and faster than the naked man riding a bolt of lightning. You know, that opens our show. Can you help? Those are too funny to not know who wrote them, but that's right. A Mark Twain, she asks.
Okay, so yes, we should explain to those who don't listen to this program all the time that in the openings of this program are read by our friend Todd Wilkerson, who is a comedian and a genius, and I usually write them for him because I can write to his kooky voice, but one of them I made up a Mark Twain quote. So that's my made up Mark Twain quote. Mark Twain never said that. So maybe, Albin, maybe you can read it again so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, here's the quote. Smarter than a blue jay, what can talk possum, and faster than a naked man riding a bolt of lightning.
Yes. And you did that in a really wonderful Mark Twain accent. Thank you. So anyway, so the answer to this woman, what's her name?
Her name is Annette, and she's writing in from Vancouver, Washington.
Okay. So, Annette, the answer is that I wrote that to be a fake Mark Twain quote. You'll never find it. But you know what's funny? What's funny about the internet is something gets out there. I mean, if you put this out there as a Mark Twain quote, it'll get picked up 20 times. And before you know it, the horse is out of the barn, cat's out of the bag, toothpaste out of the tube. It'll never come back. I wanted to explain that I once said something in my book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I was trying to sum up what I thought his theology was saying in a sentence. And I summed it up as saying something along the lines of God is, you know, less interested in us piously avoiding sin than in, you know, courageously trying to do his will or something close to that. But it was picked up as a Bonhoeffer quote, and it was circulated over and over and over and over as a Bonhoeffer quote. Wow. Eventually, I thought, this is bad because you don't like, you know, you don't, that happens. And I thought, there's no way you can put the toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, it's done.
Whoa, it's out there
on 100 websites.
No, I could. You need a really, really small spoon.
Well, that's exactly what I did. I emailed everyone I knew who was in the blogosphere. And I let them know that if you see that quote, it's from my book. I said it. Bonhoeffer didn't say it. So please scrub whatever. Son of a gun, we put the toothpaste back in the tube. So I just wanted to be clear about that. Now, listen, before we get to John the Situation's Mirac to talk about everything, I want to remind our listeners that our patrons, the people who make this show possible, and folks, we are grateful to them, and we'd love for you to share your gratitude by patronizing them. Honorboundcoffee.com, honorboundcoffee.com. All of the proceeds go to help military families. Please check out honorboundcoffee.com. And of course, our friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow.com, a great patriot as well. MyPillow.com, just put in the code Eric. You'll get our huge discount code. And then finally, MySafeSpaces.com. That is about free speech. Amazingly, Netflix and Amazon Prime have declined to put it on their platforms. You think about that, folks. We are in a war. We're in an insane war. When something beautiful, truthful, inoffensive, unless you're a communist or a totalitarian of some other kind, it has been banned from Amazon Prime and Netflix. So please go to nosafespaces.com, put in the code SAVE25, and you'll save 25%. It's a great thing to watch during this shutdown with the whole family. It's appropriate for the whole family. NoSafeSpaces.com. Put in SAVE25.
Okay. And one more suggestion. PatternsOfEvidence.com. Patterns of Evidence.
How did great, I forget that?
That's great series.
That's another great thing to put in. PatternsOfEvidence.com. We'll talk about that at another time, but those are spectacular. And the first one, I am part of a panel with Gretchen Carlson. Remember her? Gretchen Carlson, who got $20 million from Fox News and was portrayed by You know who I'm talking about. In the film, it's crazy. Okay. We've of course run out of time. When we come back, we're going to be talking to our friend, John, the Situations Mirak. There's a lot to cover with John. There's always a lot to cover. So folks, don't go away. We'll be right back with our friend, John Mirak.
Morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John,
Big Bad John.
Hey folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to John Zmirak, ergo, I will try to shut up. I can see you and hear you. What's on your mind?
Okay, great. Well, I got a piece at stream.org that I think might be of interest to your listeners. It's called Short of Another Great Awakening, America May Split Up or Worse. And this is my response to, I bet a lot of your listeners have heard that there's a conference scheduled at Harvard that was announced by an article in Harvard Magazine and another article in Harvard Law Review. They want to ban homeschooling. They want to presumptively ban homeschooling, make it something that is illegal on the face of it, and you have to request special permission from the government for the right to teach your own children. Otherwise, you have to send them to a government-certified or government-run school. And the reason they give, it's really interesting, it's that homeschoolers might be abused because there's no one to see if they're being hid, and they're not really socialized, but then they get to the real reason, to put most of the emphasis on this. Homeschoolers are often homeschooled because their parents want to teach them their own worldview and their own religion and not have them subjected, you know, 7 hours a day to the official ideologies of the government where they happen to live, which controls the school board.
John, you know that my
Harvard head, thinks this is unacceptable.
My head has exploded five times since you began talking. This makes me so angry. I want my audience to understand. If they understand nothing, folks, listen carefully, folks. We are a republic. We are self-governing. We have the right to teach our kids, listen carefully, anything we want. We are the parents. We can teach our kids stupid things. I can teach my kids that Greeks are better than other people. I can teach my kids that the Bible is true. I can teach my kids to respect their elders. I have the right to teach my kids whatever I like. Now you say, are there boundaries? Of course there are boundaries. If I teach my kid, go get a gun and kill people. No. But what, John, what you are talking about undermines the very basis of self-government and of family. It is wicked. I just have to say this. It is absolutely wicked. It's what you find in places like China and North Korea. God forbid this is happening in America.
Well, Eric, I have to point out it's what you find in Germany and Sweden too. In most of Western Europe, homeschooling is illegal and parents have lost custody of their children. So when Barack Obama and Joe Biden talked about America becoming a normal country, they meant countries like Western Europe where elites control what the kids learn and parents don't have the right to pass their beliefs along. One of the experts who's speaking at the Harvard conference said, this idea of parental rights, people don't understand. This is simply something that the government delegates to the parents, and it can revoke it at any time.
I can't tell you. There's so much wrong with this, but the reason it's insane is that we have come so far from where we were as a country, where everyone understood these things, that we now actually have to talk about it. I mean, this would be like talking about you know, is it okay to kill people in the street? Let's discuss it. Let's have a symposium. I mean, everybody knows, you don't really have to talk about it. Everyone knows it's wrong. What we're talking about now, everyone used to know that parents had the right to teach their kids whatever they wanted because they're the parents, and that we would lend the government the time to teach our kids. We would pay taxes to pay the school teacher to teach our kids because maybe we didn't have the time to do that or the education to do that. But it was in loco parentis. And the idea that this is happening is wicked. Homeschoolers, by the way, are going to take over the world because they are the smartest, best educated kids I have ever met. I travel around the country. I'm stunned by how smart and how capable most of them are.
Eric, I need to give a little historical background. Not a lot of people know this, but there's a fantastic book called Official Lies, which is sort of a libertarian book about the various ways that the government has lied to us over the centuries in American history. The public school system was set up intentionally by social gospel progressive ultra-liberal Christians, you know, the kind who really didn't necessarily believe in the resurrection or any of the miracles or the divinity of Christ, but they thought Christian ethics were wonderful as they interpreted them. It was people like that, like Horace Mann and his associates, who created the public school system. And if you read their correspondence to each other, the explicit reason they want a public school system was to cure the children of religious parents, especially they didn't have the term, but evangelical Christians and Catholic immigrants, to capture those children and homogenize them and turn them into ordinary, standard, liberal, progressive Americans. The goal was to grab the next generation and mold it in the image of the Northeastern liberal elites. And that has never changed. And it's taken on other forms. In 1935, I think it was, Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, which was the ultimate Northeastern liberal progressive organization, she published an article calling for an American baby code, that in order to have a child, you needed a license from the government and you needed to reapply every time you wanted to have one. And the explicit purpose that Planned Parenthood had in mind was to prevent the propagation of unfit children with hereditary deficiencies and defects, such as hereditary criminality, is a term.
And being black, of course, which is a bad thing, according to people like Margaret Sanger. We don't want those kind of people. And so, yeah, the government can step in. This is why we have to relearn the basics, John, and that's what you're helping us to do. Understand what is true, what is right, what are the American foundational principles? Because as we all know, the globalist elites at places like Harvard, they have dispensed with these things a long time, about 100 years ago, and they've gotten more and more power to impose their globalist, anti-American, anti-biblical worldview. And we really have to explain what that is so that those who have some inclination to agree with us will understand why we think what we do.
Now, in the light of this proposal, which Harvard is putting its weight behind, and remember, this is not just some airy-fairy theoretical thing. They're going to have this conference. They're going to publish article. They're going to publish a book, and they're going to issue recommendations. And those recommendations are going to be taken by members of the left-wing teachers union to state legislatures. And then it will be the Harvard plan. And the Harvard plan for saving students, for protecting students from domestic abuse and domestic violence and indoctrination by hate groups. That's how it will be peddled. And they will pass it. If you live in a blue state, guaranteed they're going to try to outlaw homeschooling in your state in the next 6 to 12 months. Get ready for it. Even if you don't homeschool.
Wait, in the next 6 to 12 months?
I strongly suspect so, yeah. Look how quickly the left is moving. Look how fast the left is moving on all their proposals. I don't see the left holding back. They already said, I mean, look at how far, look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Look at the squad in the House of Representatives. The left in America is getting impatient. It's getting frenzied. It smells blood in the water. That's why they're so excited about this shutdown. This is the suspension of the Constitution is the best thing that could happen to them. They can rule by decree. They can close churches. They can tell you where you can drive and where you can't. These people are excited. They're like the Jacobins in 1792. I think in the next 6 to 12 months, you're going to see proposals in states like Virginia and Michigan. Any state that right now has a total lockdown of churches but has abortion clinics open, that's the kind of state they're going to put this kind of thing in the legislature. So I would like to talk at greater length. I don't know how much time we have in the segment. I would like to talk about the implications of this. What's our timeline?
Go ahead.
Up till now, there's been kind of a truce between the opinion at fringe, the opinion extremes in America, like conservative evangelicals, conservative Catholics, Orthodox Jews. We raise our kids. The people who want to take their kids to drag queen story hour or have them taught safe S&M techniques in high school by Planned Parenthood, as happens in public schools. We have each been raising our kids and sending them out into the world to sort of duke it out. And we hope ours will hold on to our values. They hope they can convert ours to their values in college. But there's been a kind of truce. We're not trying to take each other's children away because we think the other group are unfit parents. If you outlaw homeschooling, you are saying there is no escape. If you can't afford a private or religious school, or if the religious school has already been controlled by government regulations, there is no escape.
John, hang on. We are out of time. We're going to be right back with more John Zmirak. Do not go away, please. Christian bestselling author and speaker Richard E. Simmons does not shy away from the big questions of life. His latest book is called Reflections on the Existence of God, and it tackles the biggest question of all, does God exist? I've read this book, and I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you can imagine that I like it a lot because Simmons offers insights for those grappling with life's biggest questions. Where do we find meaning in life? Who determines what is evil? Can we be moral without God? Does God even exist? Former White House aide Wallace Henley says, I've taught apologetics for many years and I've read every scholar mentioned in this book. Of all the books on apologetics, Simmons is the best I have ever read. This book is easy to read because it's divided into a series of brief essays, perfect for a devotional or discussion with a friend. I highly recommend that you add a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God to your pandemic reading list. Simmons asks questions that speak directly to one of the most important things you possess, your worldview. Folks, you know how important this is to me. Your worldview is going to impact the way you live your life for better or for worse. If you want to challenge yourself to spiritual and intellectual growth, and I hope you do, then be willing to ask yourself life's toughest questions. Dive in today by picking up a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God right now. Go to existenceofgodbook.com. That's existenceofgodbook.com. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, please continue talking about how this proposal is coming out of this Harvard conference to end homeschooling in America.
We've seen this kind of thing before. The state of Oregon outlawed all private religious education in the 1920s, and it took the Supreme Court to overturn that. The impetus to control what the next generation thinks and believes and to do it via the government is a very old one. And it usually is on the progressive social gospel left in America, in American history. Now, insofar as Harvard is saying homeschooling should be illegal, what happens if you violate that law? You are abusing your children and you could lose custody.
Okay, so see, here's the thing. We're talking, I've said this before, we're going to see the courage of Americans. If we do not understand what it means to keep the republic, we are now going to have to fight to keep the republic, and we're going to see if people will be willing to be civilly disobedient.
Eric, I think that's still too defensive a strategy. We need to try to pass laws focusing on what the left is doing with their children. They're taking their children to see sex performers from the sex industry at Drag Queen Story Hour. As far as I'm concerned, that is child abuse. Instead of defending ourselves and saying, oh, well, homeschooling's not really child abuse. No, let's step in and say, you, the kind of explicit sex education and sex entertainment you are subjecting your small children to, maybe that should be grounds for losing custody of your children. It's time to start punching back.
I think it's time for you to run for president. I'm sick and tired of reading pieces in the stream by John Zmirak. I want you to run for president. When you say these kinds of things, you are dead on. There's nothing about what you just said that is even slightly wrong or even premature. You are quite right. We ought to be on the offensive. The problem that I see, John, and the reason I half joke, only half joke when I say you have to run for president, is that we don't seem to have people in leadership willing to enact these kinds of common sense solutions. What you said is a common sense, correct action, but we don't seem to have people in our leadership class, legislators, willing to take this on. Am I wrong? Is there anyone?
Well, Donald Trump, to some degree, has been punching back, not so much on the cultural issues, but there's a reason for that.
John, he's only the president.
I know.
More than one person to deal with this.
There's a reason people are afraid to say things like what I just said, that if you take your kids to Drag Queen Story Hour, maybe you should lose custody of your kids. The reason is the truce that was keeping this country together. We are going to let people raise their own kids and pass on their own values. That truce has been torn up. Harvard and the elites behind it are tearing that truce up.
Well, they've been doing that for 100 years since Dewey. Well, I mean, we know
this. This is the most extreme totalitarian Maoist seizure of people's children. Okay. This is a whole new bridge. If one half the country thinks the other half of the country are unfit parents, unfit to raise their own children, you know, because they're taking them to see sex performers, we think they're morally insane and they're abusing their kids. They think we're abusing our kids by teaching them to believe in the God of the Bible. You can't hold a country together like that for long. So in my article at the stream, I talk about how America might very well end up splitting over issues like this because the left is no longer willing to tolerate our existence. So one side or the other is going to convert the other, or the country is going to tear itself apart as it did in 1860. And in the article, I quote your book, Seven More Men, and the work of George Whitefield, how he, in bringing the Great Awakening to America, made the unification of America in 1776 possible. It helped create the national culture that let us be knit together as one country instead of 13 states or just colonies of Britain. We need another great awakening of spiritual Christian fervor and love of God in America, or the left is going to succeed in taking our children and our rights and our freedom and our property and our churches away from us piecemeal. And in one generation, we will be just another normal country like the Netherlands, where now the government is euthanizing people with Alzheimer's.
John, it'll be much worse than that, because, you know, it's one thing for Germany to become like this. The United States of America, for more than two centuries, has been the beacon of freedom around the world. Your ancestors and my ancestors looked across to America as the beacon of freedom. With all of America's problems, America was the beacon of hope and opportunity and equality and all of these kinds of things. If America goes down this path that we're talking about, the whole world suffers. We are not a country. We are the country that God has chosen to hold this torch. Lincoln called us God's almost chosen people. It's a burden to lead the world in freedom. It comes with a price. We paid the price in blood and treasure. And right now, it seems to me that we are in an existential battle, as we were in 1860, as we were in 1776, and that people have to understand that it's a battle. They have to be willing to fight. They have to be willing to spend money and time and effort. Everything you're saying, you know, I wish somebody listening had millions of dollars and said, you know, make a documentary about this or do something, because we do not put out this kind of information very effectively. We don't have the muscle to get it distributed. We referred to No Safe Spaces a moment ago, which is a great example. It gets made, and then Netflix and Amazon Prime say, we're not going to air it here. We really need, as you say, to go on the offensive. We're going to go to break, folks. I have the pleasure of talking to my friend John Zmirak. Our website is MetaxasTalk.com and my personal website, EricMetaxas.com. We'll be right back with John Zmirak. Hey, folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I am talking to our friend John Zmirak about something that is extremely serious. John, your article at the Stream, first of all, we go to stream.org.
That's right, stream.org.
And you talk about another great awakening or what?
There are three possible outcomes for America today where the left thinks conservative Christians aren't fit to raise their own children, aren't fit to educate them. If they try to homeschool them, they'll lose custody. The kids will go into the foster care system. We, looking at people who take their kids to drag queen story hour and subject them to explicit sex education and encourage them to wonder if they have gender dysphoria and then start giving them hormones and maybe cutting off their breasts, preventing their puberty, doing all sorts of things that are objectively child abuse in pursuit of so-called transgender affirmation, they don't deserve custody of their kids if they're going to act like that. In principle, the left and the right in this country increasingly think the other side are a danger to their own children and unfit parents. That's what Harvard's saying when it wants to ban homeschooling. That's what we're saying when we're suggesting that it's wrong and should be criminal to be giving hormones to 11-year-olds because they think they might be the other sex. Each of us is at absolute odds. There are only three possible outcomes in a situation like that or in 1860. Either the country splits up in an ugly, bloody way, and I think it'll be more like the Spanish Civil War than the American Civil War because it's not neat geographical boundaries. It's red county next to blue county spread out all across the country. It would not be pretty. I'm not hoping for it. But that's not the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is that the left simply wins, that they win this upcoming election. They pack the Supreme Court, maybe increase it by adding some more justices so they can put, you know, Jussie Smollett or Michael Avenatti on there.
thank you.
And They do to more states what they did to Virginia. You know, Virginia has become a blue state, and they're trying to drive conservatives out of the state by knocking down all the Confederate statues and all the Civil War monuments and infringing on gun laws and infringing on religious liberty and making infanticide legal. And right now, Ralph Northam is talking about having the economy locked down for 2 years, the Constitution suspended.
What did you say?
He's talking about the lockdown in Virginia lasting for years until coronavirus is cured or there is a vaccine. The state may never fully reopen.
Why not close down the country until we cure death?
The left has made it clear this virus was the Reichstag fire. It is an excuse. It is a pretext for suspending the Constitution and agglomerating all power into their own hands. And I've got another article extreme.org, November 2020, the Reichstag fire election. We have to see the way the left has abused their power. Look at Andrew Cuomo. This is what I'm writing about today. He has locked down his entire state and claiming that he has to save lives and that every life is precious. And he's talking about his old nana, his mother, his elderly mother, and how we can't be sacrificing women like her for the sake of the economy. And that's true on the face of it. So why is Cuomo forcing nursing homes to take patients who have the coronavirus back into the nursing home so they can infect and kill all the old people in the nursing home? The one group that really needs a quarantine, that really deserves to be protected and needs the protection, old people in nursing homes, he is dumping coronavirus patients in there. You know, when this first started, I made sort of a morbid joke. I said the left wants to send drag queens to spread the mental illness of gender dysphoria among young and impressionable children. What are they going to do next? Are they going to send coronavirus patients to do coronavirus story hour at nursing homes? Damn, if it's just a month and a half and Cuomo is actually doing that. You can't write satire fast enough before the left actually exceeds what you imagined in your most malicious fantasies.
It's unconscionable. I mean, look, what you and I are trying to do is wake up America. It's time to wake up, folks. This is the time to wake up. A lot of us have said, well, I'm going to keep my powder dry. I'm going to keep my nose clean. Folks, it is time to wake up and to fight, whatever that means. But if you do not understand what is happening, you will not have the courage to fight. You need to understand that what we're talking about, unfortunately, is true. A lot of us have seen this coming, but now is the time to stand and fight. And if you are living in a place where they're imposing absurd lockdowns, you've got to push back. I don't know, you know, if I had a restaurant, would I open it up? I have to say that I think people are on the verge of doing things like this and saying, all right, cops, come and arrest me because I'm going to be serving food outdoors. Come and arrest me. I'm serving hot dogs and hamburgers outdoors, and we're going to have some social distancing because I need to make money. I'd like to keep my home and I'd like to keep the business open. It's been in the family for three generations. Do you mind, officer? Do you mind, Mr. Mayor? That's kind of where we are right now.
We need to be thinking in terms of the Reichstag fire, which was a real fire. I mean, I'm not saying the Reichstag didn't burn, okay? I'm not saying the coronavirus is not a real dangerous disease. But what the government did, the way they used that real fire, the way the left is using this real virus, is to suspend the Constitution. If you suspend the Constitution, the government has no legitimacy. They're just a bunch of guys with guns. And guess what? We have a lot of guns too. I'm sorry, you can't suspend the Constitution indefinitely and keep moving the goalposts based on what's, you know, Bill Gates and George Soros and a couple of virus experts tell each other behind closed doors. It's madness, and it's extremely dangerous. We should be quarantining the vulnerable. We should be setting up hotels, pristine hotels in Florida for any old person or immunocompromised person who wants to go there. You can live for free. We'll give you a stipend. We'll give you free medical care, but we're opening up the rest of the country. So yeah. By this date, by July 1, you should be locked. You should be in place in one of these free quarantine centers. Right. You'll get cable. You'll get catered food. But we need to get the vulnerable out of harm's way so that this virus is going to pass through the whole country. Everyone is going to be exposed to this virus at one point or another. There's no getting rid
That's
of
right.
it at this point.
That's China, right. We're going to go to another break. Folks, we'll be right back with more John Zmirak.
Like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night.
Folks, welcome back. We are talking, boy. This is exciting, important, disturbing. Talking to John Zmirak. John, we're going to keep you into the second hour. We've got our friend from ADF coming on talking about the same thing. And then we'll just keep you on into the second hour because this is too important. When you refer to the Reichstag fire, in case there's anybody who doesn't know, if you have a copy of my Bonhoeffer book, I tell the whole story. It's when the government uses a crisis to take power. That is what has happened to us here now in America. We can see that some of it was legitimate, but that obviously the temptation is always to take more power. And the Democrats are using, quote unquote, medical experts and so on and so forth to fear monger. Katie Hopkins was talking about this in England. They have somebody there. I can't think. It's Neil, not Niall. Neil Ferguson, a doctor. I put it on Twitter, who has over and over made the most preposterous predictions. He is the expert to whom they are appealing for wisdom during this time. I assume something like that is happening here in America. It's always safe to be on the side of fear-mongering, because that way you say, oh, well, it's a good thing it didn't happen.
That's right.
John, what else can we talk about? You said—
I've got a piece, another piece at stream.org that I co-wrote with my friend, our friend Jason Jones, the pro-life activist and filmmaker. we must flatten the deadly hunger curve. We're just thinking about what affects America, what affects ourselves and our businesses. And most of the decision makers and powerful people in this country are still getting a check. They're still they can work from home. They can do Zoom meetings. You know, the UPS guy can't work by Zoom. The pizza cook can't work by Zoom, but bureaucrats and professors can work by Zoom. So they're not feeling the pain. As Jason and I point out, you know who is feeling the pain? In America, it's the economically most vulnerable. The homeless, those who live paycheck to paycheck, people who do day jobs, Uber drivers, waiters, waitresses, people who clean buildings that are now not needing to be cleaned because they're not open. Last figure I heard was 23 million unemployed, but it may have gone up over the weekend. Another group of people that's really heavily affected are people in developing countries. For instance, Ethiopia and Eritrea, all over the Horn of Africa and other places in sub-Saharan Africa, they rely on American food exports to eat. And if we break our supply chain, and Representative Thomas Massey, who is a farmer, has warned that farms are about to die. They're killing cattle and burning them. They're dumping milk in the ground because we poured sugar in the gas tank of the American economy. Nothing is flowing from one place to another. So they're throwing away milk and cheese in Wisconsin, and people are going hungry in Kansas. We're a few weeks away from food shortages across the country. In Africa, they're a few weeks away from starvation. And when people starve, there's an old saying by an American novelist, it got attributed to Trotsky, we are only just 9 missed meals away from anarchy. If people go hungry for 3.5 days, they start to lose it and they start breaking windows and shooting people. Remember, the French Revolution was going to be a nice, peaceful reform of the French government. Then there was a bread shortage in Paris. Within a week, the government had collapsed, and you had this nightmare of slaughter that led to war that killed maybe 10 million people. The Russian Revolution was started by food shortages in St. Petersburg.
We're going to follow up with you in hour two. John, don't go away. Folks, don't go away. More coming up with John Zmirak in hour two. Very important stuff. Please share these videos and audios with your friends, please. Thank you so much.